You need to ask yourself the question, how big is my God? You're limiting God. You're putting a limit on God the way you perceive and see God. God is bigger than that situation, and you need to allow Him to show Himself strong. God says, I'll show myself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are loyal unto me. 2 Chronicles, He says that. But I wanted to talk about our involvement in community and something that I brought or was Lord spoke to me, and I know they have already been talking, and that actually started with my sermon 2 weeks ago, but I'm just going to add on to that. But not today. I wanted to do that. I had it in my mind. I was sitting there during the conference and already preparing the sermon in my mind, and I sense God saying, talk about this. But then I really wanted to do that this morning, but then during this week, I just sense God saying that I'd like to bring a different message this morning. Maybe for another day, I will do that. But this morning, I want to talk to you as a concern. Sometimes, you know, we just need to sit down and talk about certain things and say, I see lights flickering. I'm worried. And, you know, So I want to share my heart with you this morning. Hear my heart this morning. It's not to, that's why I didn't bring any slides this morning, because I don't want us to gain just knowledge or just come here and take notes and go away and say it was a nice sermon and I was blessed. So somewhere along this line, I trust that God has got something for you. We were praying this morning, and before the time, as I walked into that place, it's one of those Sundays. You know, God's got something. Some days, you know, have you been to meetings that you sometimes don't want to go to church? I don't know. I've been to things like that where I just feel like staying at home. And then it turns out to be those meetings that God wanted me there, and then it changed my life forever. He speak some truth into my life that caused the direction. I had lately, a month or two, such a meeting, you know, where I just didn't feel like it. I'm just being honest with you. But it turned out to be one of the most blessed meetings in my life that I will forever remember. I believe God's got one of those things. Not because I'm bringing the message. I just think God's Spirit is here this morning. I was walking in there and I sense God. We were praying in tongues, like not like the normal kind of thing. And I picked it up in my spirit. God, there's something more. All week I'm just trusting your Spirit to make an impartation here this morning into our spirit. So it's our spirit man that needs to receive this morning. And I'm just going to bring a very simple message to you. But Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3, he said, for I fear lest somehow as the serpent deceived your minds by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. We make it so much more complicated and more difficult than it really is. The gospel and why we are here this morning. And I really want to bring that simple message to you this morning. Things that you may be thinking, you know, I've heard this before, I've seen this before. But unless we come back to the old truths, it should never become old. You know, we should stand upon that. That's our foundation. That's how we believe. That's why we are here this morning. And I trust God that we will understand, you know. Isaiah 64 verse 1 and 2 says, oh, you that you would burst from the heavens and come down. How the mountains would quake in your presence, as fire causes wood to burn and water to boil, your coming would make the nations tremble. Then your enemies would learn the reason for your fame. I'll just read that one verse again. As fire causes wood to burn and water to boil, your coming would make the nations tremble. And you probably noticed that I've got some wood here. We're not going to have a barbecue or a braai, so relax. But let's, for the sake of these few minutes, let's have a braai with Jesus. If you're planning of having one this afternoon, give me a few moments. Just forget about the chicken in the oven or the whatever is there, what you're going to do. Just for this moment, let's just have a braai with Jesus this morning. Let's just talk about the fire of God. And that's the theme this morning, staying at the fire. Because I know we all like fire, and Personally, it is one of my favorite smells. One of the two. One is the rain, smell of the rain. You don't get it often here. And but the smell when you light that fire, something that comes forth out of that fire. It's just me personally. And we've got this when we were children. I remember as little boys, we always wanted to light the fire. When my dad used to make a fire, we wanted to light the fire. Now my little girls are at that stage and age. When I make the fire, they always run to me and say, "Daddy, can I light the fire?" We've got our own little thing, how we do it. And afterwards, after we've done that, then, and we use matches just purely because they'd like to sing happy birthday to me. Once I light the match, then I hold the flame and they sing happy birthday to you. And then they blow the flame and then we do two or three of that and that's it. That's just our little thing. They can't wait when I light the fire just to sing happy birthday. But I tell you, like we have fire in the world, God's got his fire in the church as well. In the Bible, when we go back to the Bible, we find it in the Old Testament, in the burning bush. Moses came in the desert and God had to get his attention. He lights a bush on fire and he speaks to him through those scenarios and what's around him. And we find it in the tabernacle, the bronze altar. We find it in many places in the Bible. The Mount Carmel, when Elijah was there with the 450 prophets, it would have taken actually much more water than this, pour it on there, and then allow God to come and light that fire. And we're not going to do that this morning, unless our faith will put that together and trust God too. But the roof is also from wood, so we might all go to heaven quickly. So, but nevertheless, and then we find it also in the New Testament, where the Bible says they were baptized with the Holy Spirit and they were like tongues of fire sitting upon them. There's a fire inside of them that they went into the world that consumed them so much that they had to take it out to the world. And as pastor this morning, coming back to the place of concernment, I'm really concerned how many of us sometimes walk away from the fire. And I just put it out to you there like that. I'm worried how many of us are standing this morning between two fires and you don't know where you need to be. I've got a little bit of the fire of God here. I'll warm myself. But you know, there's a fire somewhere else that I warm myself as well. And I just can't get to that place where I'm staying at the fire. I'm coming here, getting a little bit of heat, and then I'm going again. I want to say to you, first of all, that the fire there this morning, as in Exodus 13 verse 21 says, "And the Lord went before them by day in pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and night." I want to say to you this morning, as brothers and sisters and friends, there's no other direction unless we come to the fire. The fire brings direction because there's light. As long as the Israelites were in the desert, they had to stay under the cloud of God and be led by the pillar of fire. And it amazed me how many times we can take a break from God, take a break from the fellowship of God, just to get direction. You know, I just want to be alone with God. Let nobody talk to me. Don't just leave the church for a moment. I'm just going to take a break of a month, two, three, or whatever it might be. I just need direction from God. And you cannot be more wrong than ever. Because direction is the light. I'm not saying that we do everything right, but we need to stay at the fire, in the fellowship of brothers and sisters, in the place where the heat is, where the light is. And unless you move back to the fire, I can promise you, you'll not find direction. You'll find direction at other fires that will not lead you back to Christ. As long as the Israelites were following the fire, they didn't get lost in the desert. It took them a while to get where they had to be, but that's just because of their own hardness of their hearts. But they didn't get lost. God had a plan with them while they were there, but they had to follow. The moment they walked out of that covering, the moment they walked out of that cloud, they were exposed. Then they're suddenly outside the will of God. And I was listening to that yesterday as we were doing the foundations tree as well. You know, We're quick to blame God. Say, God, why did you do this to me? Why did you allow this? I want to say God has placed certain principles, life principles in place. There's a fire. And I tell you, if we walk away from those things, then we're prone to the attack of the enemy. Then it's not God that curses you. It's the violation of those laws and those things that cause us to experience pain and hurt in life many times. As a result of me walking away from that fire, when God said, stay at the fire, stay at that place where there's direction. The fire provides warmth this morning. Heat. When we stand next to that fire, we know it's when you're at a cold night standing at that fire. And it represents the fellowship of brothers and sisters this morning. That in this fellowship, there's warmth to feel safe. Jesus, listen to this. Jesus is praying for his brothers, or for his disciples, John 17. I'll just read it to you. Just before he's crucified, he says in verse 9, I pray for them. I do not pray for the world. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. Jesus comes and then he says, Father, I don't pray for the world. I pray right now for my disciples because I know. Listen to the next verse. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to your Holy Father, keep for your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. And he talks about them being in the world, us being in the world. Jesus knew that the risk is there for us to walk away from that fire. Not that Jesus didn't have a heart for the world, but he knew at that stage that they had to stay at the fire. Because when the shepherd is, when you strike the shepherd, obviously say the sheep is scattered. And he knew what's going to come after that. He knew when he's going to be arrested, what will probably happen. Stay at the fire. Peter, I prayed for you. Satan asked me that he can sift you, but I prayed for you. Did you ever thought about that? God's praying for you at this moment, for me. We don't know what's coming tomorrow. God help me. Pray for me. Jesus is the intercessor for us, praying for you and me as we are sitting here. Because you know what? They're sitting there in Gethsemane. And this is, again, I just add this. This is my Bible, my version, how I read it. So I won't change your theology, don't worry. I'm just seeing through my spiritual eyes. But they're sitting there in the Garden of Gethsemane with Jesus, lighting up a fire. It was a cold night, and I'll show you while I say that. It was a cold night, sitting there warming themselves, and Jesus goes off to pray, and he comes back and finds them asleep. But I can just imagine the disciples sitting there around the fire, and Peter, you know, between all of them. And Jesus says to them, Peter, you know what? Before the night is over, rooster crows three times. Sorry. We get the message. We know the story. I don't know. You'll deny me. And Peter said, no, God, not me. No. You must have made a mistake. It can't be me. Must be somebody else. Jesus, I think you've heard wrong. Can't be. No, Peter, it's you. I've prayed for you. So Peter stands at the fire with his disciples, his brothers and sisters, and he's just warming himself. And then we know the story. Jesus got arrested. They took him away, and they scattered. The disciples left him, all left him alone. Interesting thing is, a few hours later, we read in the Word in John, and some of the other Gospels as well, we find Peter warming himself at the fire of the servants of the high priest. Suddenly, he's at a different place. Suddenly, he's warming himself and he denies Jesus. He said, no, I don't know him. That servant girl says to him, but don't you talk like one of them. I know you, I've seen you. You know, funny is that, it's interesting that the word says, Peter actually started swearing at that moment. Just to prove him, no, I'm not part of that. Let's just swear, and then I'll show you. I'm not talking like those Christians. I've got nothing to do with them. And then eventually, we know the story. But the crux of the matter is, Or the question I want to ask this morning is, where are you warming yourself? Where am I warming myself this morning? Am I warming myself during the on a Sunday here in this fellowship and say, God, it's nice to be here, praise your name. And then I walk away from here and I go to another fire and I warm myself with something else there. That's not good for me. The fellowship of others that God doesn't want me to fellowship with, where I get heat, with, where the fire is not lit by God. And, you know, we read in Proverbs, it says that if we put coals into our lap, can we expect that that will not burn us? If we put a lot of coal in our lap, or your shirt, would you expect that not, do not burn you? He says, as sure as that will happen, so the wrong fellowship, there will be consequences to that when we warm ourselves at the wrong fire. And I can promise you this morning, my friends, that the only safety lies in the fellowship of brothers and sisters in Christ. When we need, when we walk away from that, when we walk away from that fire and say, God, I need, I'm just going to get direction. I'm just going to get warmth. I'm just going to get my mind somewhere else. I want to ask you, I want to tell you this morning, the only place where we can find that safety, where we can be safe in that environment, is through a brother and a sister in Christ. For in the counsel of many, there is wisdom this morning. My friend, I don't know it all. You don't know it all. But together we're going to figure this thing out. Together, you've got a little bit of what you've heard. I've got a little bit. And we're figuring this out. But we need that fellowship. We need that warmth. We need to be at the right fire. And somebody asked me the other day, we were talking in our home cell about this whole thing about, what am I supposed to do? I just came to salvation. I gave my heart to the Lord. And now, should I go to those parties of all my friends in the world? You know, they want me. I don't know what. I'm between two places. And that's just normally one of my standard answers. You know, it's easy to answer that kind of question. I say to people, you know, we're all drowning. Or we once were drowning. Let me put it that way. We were all once drowning in the sea. And we cry out, God, help us. Well, we don't even sometimes know that we need a Savior. We're just swimming there, struggling with all our kinds of things. And eventually God comes out of grace. And He pulls us out of that water. He puts us on the side of the beach. And now you're just busy. You're still wet. You're still spitting water and all of those kinds of things. And now you want to swim back and go and get your friend. That's the most or the biggest mistake you can make. By swimming back into the water because you were drowning there. You wait till you learn or you can't, till you can swim. Then you swim back and go and fetch them. But you don't just go back immediately because they will pull you down. You go to that party where that fire is and you call them and tell them, listen, I've got a different fire that I want to introduce you. I want you to bring you, I want to bring you to my bride, to my party, to the one that I know. John 4. The woman in the, at the well, she met Jesus. She had a revelation of Jesus. And she went back to those people and said, come, I've met the man. Come, I've met the man. This is after, I think, her fifth husband or fourth. I'm not sure. Can you imagine what the people would have thought? I've met the man. Yes, we know. But this time it was different. There was a different fire that was lighting up. And she brought them back. But we wait. And I tell you, not all of us are called to swim deep. We're all called to swim and fetch people. Some of us will just have to swim in the shallow waters and get people from here in the front. Some of us, we are called and God equips us in such a way that we be stronger. Not in the sense that we can be more, to take more, of becoming more prideful. Just the fact that God has equipped you in such a way that you can swim deeper into the ocean. And get those out of the ocean and pull them back and bring them to life and bring them into the fire where they can be warmed. Some of us, we'll just have to be satisfied. God has called us here in the shallow waters. We can't, we're afraid of the waters. I added this joke, you know, a lot of us sometimes we go to sea and then we'll swim. But our swimming was probably just that deep, you know. We'll run around and we come back. We had such a wonderful day at the sea. We swam and we all that kind of things, but that's fine. If God called you to be there, be faithful. And Hebrews 10 verse 24, verse 25 says this. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. I remember when we grew up, we had a calendar from the church, and this scripture was on there. As you see the day approaching, do not stay away. And it was there forever. But it came over in a condemning way. He always went, oh, I have to go to church. I have to go to church. But I want to say to you this morning, when Paul writes here in Hebrews 10, we think it's Paul that wrote it, but when Paul writes here, he says, do not stay away from the meeting together, from that fellowship, as the habit, or as some in the habit of doing. I'm not saying when you stay away one Sunday, there's big problems in your life. That's not what I'm saying this morning. I'm saying when Paul says there's a habit of staying away. When I don't have a desire anymore to fellowship with my brothers and sisters. When I don't have a desire to be here or in the week to meet with my people. When there's a habit developing in my life of staying away. I don't think it's rocket science to say to one another this morning that the red lights are flickering. We all know that's just the symptoms as a doctor. And you don't need the degree to figure out that. Then we pray. People, I can promise you this morning that God's been talking to me lately on this. There's so many people that's busy walking away from the fire. Just staying away. Just this little thing from staying away from the fire. And I'm battling with that at night. With people in our midst. Friends, people around us that God says, start praying for them. God, start praying. Before it manifests in the natural, you can see it. Lately, I've been experiencing that. And I tell you, I had to repent of that. I thought, maybe I'm just overprotective or just, God, I didn't hear you. Maybe I'll just keep the person. Instead of just praying and praying and praying, say, God, you need to work there. There's something wrong. There's something wrong. I can promise you God will do the same with you when there's friends and people around you. We just need to be obedient. Say, God, why is this person on my heart? Maybe in the natural, I cannot see why this is happening, but I know I have to pray right now. This is why we're doing the men's accountability groups as well. God, I need to pray. There's something wrong. I might not know it. My natural eye might not see that. But God, you're alerting me. There's alarm going off. And I promise you, if we're not going to do what God has called us to do, the consequences will be grave. The Bible says this, in the last days, many will fall away. When he's talking about that, those that are cold, how can the word says that I'll spit you out? Were you lukewarm? Have you ever thought about it? You can only be spit out if you were in the mouth. What's he talking about? He's not talking about the world. He's talking about you, me, and the church. We walk away. We walk away from the warm, from that what God is doing. How can the Bible say, I'll not blot your name out of the book of life? If it's possible, we think, yo, well, I've received Jesus. My name is written in the book of life. Yes. But if it was possible to blot our names out of the book of life, why would Jesus say something? People, it's time that we wake up. It's time that we realize we need to stay at the fire, at the things that matter. And the best place to stay is in the middle of the fire. And that brings me, I don't want to rain, sorry. Let me just add this one more point. The Israelites, as long as they were at the fire, there was protection. Why? Because there was light. Any enemy, anything that had to come to them had to come into the light. And I can promise you, as we stay in the light, our eyes are open. But the moment we walk away from that, the moment we stand take a few steps back, it's like with a fire. You stand at the fire at night and you walk away in the darkness. Suddenly, you cannot see. I promise you, the moment we walk away from that fire, from that light, from that place where we fellowship, from that place in the gathering of our people, then we become blind again. Satan tries to isolate ourselves and then he attacks us. He takes us out. Stay away, Hebrews 10 verse 25. That pattern, then I become blind. I don't have counselors anymore. I don't have people that speak into my life anymore. And it takes me out. And I know it's not one of those woo-woo messages and we can praise God. But I think it's one of those messages we have to, the principles, apply that and take it with us. Because you might not need it today. I promise you sometime in life, and Gunay Becker shared it the other day. He said, I challenge everybody once in their life to give up on God. But sometimes we have that we want to run away like a Peter and warm ourselves at another fire. And God needs to pull us back into that fire. So you need to be at this place. 1 Kings 18, Elijah and his 450 prophets of Baal, they are there on the mountain, Mount Carmel. And now they're all debating whose God is the God. And Elijah is coming to them. He says to them, How long will you waver between two opinions? Tell me, who's your God? Is it Baal or is it my God? God, how long will it take? And it is a waver. The word waver is the same Hebrew word they use in verse 26 when they refer to them as ones that were dancing around the altar. So now we all know, we can just see this in our eyes, how they were dancing around their wood in the altar. The same word. So actually what Elijah was saying to them, how long will you dance with two opinions? Dance before God and then you dance for the world. You warm yourself at this place, you warm yourself at that place. Make up your minds today where you want to stand, at which fire you want to be. The only time you and me are allowed to move away from this fire is when we go and fetch somebody else and bring them back to that fire and say, this is the fire, this is the place, this is what we need. The rest of the time, we are called to be here. We are called to be and intercede for our brothers and sisters. And it brings me to the fourth point. The fire purifies us. Malachi 3 verse 2 to 3 says, "What? Who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or launderer's soap. He will set as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver." And you know what? I think this is one of our biggest hurdles that we fall over or struggle with, this one. Purely for the sake of this, any blacksmith will tell you that the best place for the gold to be purified will be here in the middle of this fire, where the heat, where it's on its warmest, where the heat is the... But God doesn't put us just there. It's our decision. This is the painful part in Christianity. I can preach to you this morning. There's a lot of us in the body. We like the fire. I like the flames. I like the smoke. I like the experience. I like the fellowship. You know, I like the braai. I like the kair and all those things. But God, don't just take me closer to the fire. As long as I can be here in the light, I want a little bit of light. I want to see these things. But this, I know the moment I walk closer to this fire, the light is brighter, so that it will bring certain things to the surface. And the blacksmith knows the only time when the silver and the gold is pure, when he can see his reflection in that. And many of us never get to that place because we don't want to allow God. Because I promise you, it's a painful process. When we pray that prayer, God, take me to the middle of the fire. It's a very brave prayer to pray. By the way, don't just pray that prayer unless you've made up your mind. Say, God, I'm willing to count the cost and pay the price for that. It's not an easy prayer. We don't just pray, God, take me to the middle of the fire. Because the fire is warm. But in the fire, the impurities comes to the surface. And I think that's the reason why many of us never reach maturity in Christ. Because we enjoy the fire. We come to church. That's all. Don't expect me just not to get into the middle of the fire. And I want to say to you this morning, this distance, the distance between me and the fire this morning, determines the level of transparency with my brothers and sisters. Hear me out on this. The distance between me and the fire determines the level of transparency, because there's less light or more light. The closer I move to God, the closer I get to the middle of the fire, that means I have to be honest with myself and with my brothers and sisters. But now we have our doors, we have our keys, and we have our distances, our place, and I'm reserved, and we all, you know, we qualify ourselves. I'm just not that kind of person that opens up. Mm-mm. God, just don't take me to the middle of the fire, please. I don't want to be there. It's uncomfortable. It is. I wish I can tell you it's nice in the middle of the fire, but it's not. It's not. It's not the kind of sermons we hear always about come to God and he's going to throw you in the oven. He's going to put you in the fire. No? Probably so if you were a visitor, we don't have visitors here this morning, you probably wouldn't join this church, but that's good. I'll rather give you the truth. But I want to say to you, and I remember 10 years ago when we moved to England at that stage, well, not me at the stage, I haven't met my wife yet. And I was successful in this side and in a way, I thought so. You know, God blessed me. My work here, and then I moved there, and suddenly it's just the other way around. You come there, and you think, okay, I was successful. Now, God, I'm just going to build upon that, and then I'm going to see what you want to do. And I remember I served the Lord at that stage. It wasn't that I didn't serve the Lord, I just didn't know what God's got in store for me. One of those moments when you maybe pray, God, take me to the desert. I did pray that prayer, or take me to the middle of the fire, and then a few months later, God honors that prayer. So now I'm sitting there 3 months after I got there and didn't have a job and the bills is piling up and all of those kind of things. And then suddenly, one day I was worshiping and sitting with the Lord and I got this offer back from here from the bank. They're offering me an incredible offer that at that stage in my life, there was young, anybody else would grasp that and run with it. But I knew sitting there, God, I cannot take this thing. It's not you. It's not you in this whole thing. I know I don't have a job now. I don't know. I need this money. I need to be. I can just, you know, say goodbye with England and just go back and go on with my life there. But God, you called me here. I need to be obedient. God said to me, he took me back to Psalm 1. He said, don't go down that stream. If you stay at the stream, you'll be like that tree that's planted at the river that will bear forth its fruit at the right time. And look at that tree outside there. It might have leaves, but it hasn't got fruit because it's not at the river. I remember that message so clear. And years later, I knew why God said that. I want to say to you this morning, if you move away from the stream, if you move away from that fire, the fruit that it will bring forth will not be the same fruit as if you stay at that fire. When we stay at that place where God wants us, in the middle of the fire, and I tell you, it was a painful process. It was a process where God had to humiliate or humble you, sorry, not humiliate, humble myself. When God puts you in that oven, in that place of the fire where it's warm and all those impurities come to the surface. But if we allow him, then God can see the reflection of his son in our lives. But it needs to go through the heat. It needs to go through those things. Our distance from the fire this morning will also determine our level of intimacy with God. If we are reserved, if we say, God, I'll just keep the distance, I'll just stay there, I can promise you, don't expect a deeper level of intimacy with God. The moment we need, the moment we take a step closer to that, God is committed. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to us. That means that we need to make that first step, that hungry part that said, God, I want to change. God, I want to get in the middle of the fire. I need that warmth. I need that direction. I need that heat. I'm like in Peter. I'm like that Peter that said, Lord, I wouldn't do it. And I know this morning I may be moved away from that fire, but it's time that I get back. I've got so much impurities in me. It's time that I open up, that I become accountable, that I talk to my brothers here because I'm struggling with these things. I need to get in this fire so that these impurities can surface. And my last point. This morning, Hebrews 1:7 says this, who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire? Who are these ministers of Christ? Paul talks about them in Corinthians, and it's just basically us, just to make a long story short. Flames of fire. God wants to baptize you and me with his spirit so that we can be like flames of fire when we go out there in the world. We cannot do it on our own. We've got his Holy Spirit to empower us to be that witness, to be that light on the hill for that city where God sends you and me when he empowers us with his spirit. But he doesn't force that upon us. He doesn't force that upon us. Only those that are hungry will be filled and be baptized with his spirit. You know, and I was saying this the other day, and I'm praying this to God. You're reading in Revelation about the church of Ephesus, that God condemns them, that they look the look. In other words, they do all things, all kinds of things away, wrong. They are loveless. I think they are loveless jets. I might be wrong here. But the profound thing that he said, I'll take away your lampstand from you. That just means you will not be a light anymore. As a church, that's a message for us. If we pretend to shine, but we haven't got the light inside of us, God says, I'll just remove the lampstand. You haven't got authority anymore. You don't have the relationship strength anymore in the community to speak. My own life, I need to ask myself that question. God, am I just pretending to shine? Am I just pretending to have the light inside of me, but I don't point the direction to somebody else? My friend, I have to ask myself this question this morning. If somebody would walk with me during this week, just for 1 week, somebody that don't know me, that don't know Christ, I'm not allowed to talk to him anyway. I'm not allowed to preach to him. But when he go to the places that I go, when he see what I'm thinking on, what I'm meditating on, not me preaching to him, because, you know, we can fool ourselves what we say. And he's just observing what I'm doing, what I'm meditating upon, where I'm going, the people I'm fellowshipping with. After that 1 week, will he be closer to Christ or not? I have to answer that question for myself. I want you to think about that. Will he find me warming myself at two different fires? Will he find me being a stumbling block to Christianity and embarrassment? And I think we sometimes have just to repent, God, I may be messed up. I'm not that light that you called me to be. I want to get back to that fire. I want to get back in the middle of that fire. Light me up. Baptize me with your Holy Spirit so that I can be that light out there. God, I repent this morning of walking away from that fire. God, I repent of the lie of standing on the side and I'll be okay. God, I want to get back at the fire where the heat are close, where there is more heat, where there's fellowship between my brothers and my sisters. Let's close our eyes this morning. During the reign of Oliver Cromwell, the British government, they ran low on silver coins. And the man, Oliver Cromwell, sent his servants or his soldiers into the local cathedral to see if they could get any precious metals there. And they investigated and they came back and they said to him, the only silver we could find are in the statues of the saints standing in the corners. And Oliver Cromwell replied to this soldier, good, we'll melt them down. We'll melt down the saints and put them into circulation. Sometimes God needs to melt us down and put us into circulation so that the world can experience him. But only if we get in the middle of the fire. Where are you standing this morning? Let's close our eyes just there. Maybe God's talking to you. You've moved away from that fire. You know you were not at that place where God called you to be. Or maybe, and I want to pray for people this morning that, and hear my heart, you need to pray this only when you're serious. God, take me to the middle of that fire. It's a very brave prayer to pray. God will honor that prayer. I promise you the fruit that he will bring forth out of that is lasting fruit. God, take me to the fire. Remove every impurity out of me, so that gold will remain, so that I may reflect your Son, Jesus Christ. That alone, God, will satisfy me. May it be pleasing unto you. There's some of us sitting here this morning. God wants to make your flame of fire this morning. He wants to baptize you with his Holy Spirit. He wants to empower you this morning that when you walk out of here, when you go to the other people out there, that you are equipped with his Spirit to bring them back to the fire. While nobody's looking around, I want you just to raise your hand just where you are. Yaku, you're talking to me this morning. God has been talking to me about getting back to that fire. God has been talking to me about getting into that fire. I know that impurity. God wants to purify me this morning. He wants to set me free from that. But I need to say, God, I want to. Thank you, Lord. God, thank you. Some of us this morning that you've not been baptized with the Holy Spirit. And you need that. You want that this morning. God, I've heard about this thing about speaking in tongues. I've heard about this all and I don't have it, but I want that this morning. I promise you, I was in a service. I didn't know when it happened to me. I've never even heard about the baptism in the Spirit. I was just hungry. That's all. Afterwards, I had to find out what happened with me. But just because I was hungry, I said, God, they're doing something there. I want of that. And God touched me in that service. And I can say to you this morning, maybe you don't know what I'm talking about. Some of us, we don't understand this whole concept about baptism in the Holy Spirit. And you've got questions about it. It's fine, as long as there's a hunger for that. The only other thing that I want to say, God says in His Word in Acts that He gives His Spirit to those who obey Him. And if you are hungry this morning, but you know there are certain impurities that God, then it's fine. Just repent of those things. Bring it before Him. And I promise you, God can give you that. It's not me. It's God that baptizes the Holy Spirit. Thank you. We're going to stand and sing a song. And while the rest of us sing and pray, I just want those of you that feel you need that prayer this morning, that you can come to the front and we're going to pray with you that God will finish His work this morning. Blessed be the name.